Your docent's pretty much in place right now. What can they look forward to in terms of maybe some guest speakers, like you were telling me before, you'll have as they start their training next month?
Great. Well, we have some great speakers lined up already in the trainings, and many speakers too from in-house. We're going to have Bridget Bray, our curator, who will be speaking to the docents as well. We have a former curator from our museum, Mary MacArthur, who will also be coming to speak. She wrote a book about Buddhism, so she'll be speaking about Buddhist art, and lots of other great, exciting speakers.
You're going to have your docents, I think, trained by March. Is that correct?
That's the goal, yes, for them to, they will attend a series of lectures and also spend some time with each other just thinking about what's important to know to share with students of all ages coming to the museum. And then by March, most of them will be on the floor leading tours of their own.
That is going to be so much fun. I've wondered, though, how do you get school kids? Let's say we have a bunch of school kids on a field trip, maybe 9 years old. They're used to their video games. How do you get children that age excited about art that's been around a number of centuries and make them realize it's special?
Well, that's a great question. I think for most of them, just, you know, in my experience working with students of that age, just getting them to think about these are the real objects. That's something that especially students who haven't been to museums before might not necessarily, it might take a moment to process, but really, really highlight that in the introduction when first speaking to them, that we are seeing things that are real, that many of them are very, very old. And I think they often do really just really respond to the specialness of that and really want to spend time with, you know, something I as a teacher would always ask them, just to be present and myself be present with them. So to really just focus on spending time with the art objects, with each other, having a discussion, focusing without all our 21st century technology in the way.
Which sounds like a very important lesson for an artist too, because that kind of gets in the way these days, our phones, our texts.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I'm, you know, by no means a Luddite, and definitely encourage. I mean, I think there's lots of great art, as we even have at Pacific Asia Museum, that's produced using modern technology. But I think it's also really important to just have your moments where you're entirely present and don't have anything that's intervening. And, you know, what better place to do it than in a serene museum with a wonderful courtyard, too.
And I love the interactivity of this particular museum, because when I was a kid, you went, you saw, you looked, and that was it. I love how you involve the children.
Thank you. Yes, it's a great program, and we're really looking forward to having a new group of great docents join us.
As we wrap up here, what's each of you most looking forward to for, can you believe I'm asking, this fall at the Pacific Asia Museum? Kabir, I'm going to pick on you again, if I may.
Okay. Well, we have a really exciting Free Family Festival coming up on September 15th, Sunday, September 15th. It'll be from noon to 4, and we'll have, our focus is on Korea. We'll have all sorts of demonstrations and dances and performances, lots of hands-on art making for families, people of all ages in the families to do and work on together. It's always lots of fun. We have our volunteers come and who are part of our family too. So just really wonderful programs, and it's a chance for lots and lots of people to come to the museum for free and enjoy all the things that we have here.
Tell me a little bit about the hands-on crafts.
Well, we are still in the midst of planning all the great details, but some of the things that we've done before in relation to Korea, we've done a screen painting activity where participants were able to paint their own mini scholar screen. So that's something that took place in traditional Korean art, often had scholar screens that focused on different little things that you would find in a scholar's home. And so with these screens that we had participants do, they were able to pick out different things that they would have in their own scholar's home. So since we are in the world of technology in the 21st century, often their scholar screens included laptops. Yeah.
I love that mixing of the different time periods. How about for you, Chelsea? What are you most looking forward to for fall at the Pacific Asia Museum?
Well, one thing I'm really excited about is the opening of our new Chinese gallery. And that's going to open, we'll have a soft opening shortly after Labor Day. So the gallery will be open to the public once again. And then we'll have a big members opening party in October, which we're really excited about. And so as you and your listeners might remember, this is the third in our gallery renovations in the past couple years. Last year, you and I went through the Korean gallery that we just reopened, and that has been enormously successful with its thematic presentation of Korean art and a number of interactive stops within that gallery. And we're really excited to bring that same approach to the Chinese gallery as well. Any of your listeners who have been to Pacific Asia Museum before will know that our Chinese gallery was almost entirely ceramics. And while we do have a really impressive Chinese ceramics collection, we're excited to bring a wider variety of Chinese art on view. So this gallery will not only have these wonderful ceramics, it'll also have paintings, other types of sculpture, and a variety of other three-dimensional objects that I think the visitors will really enjoy.
And spanning what kind of a time period?
It will span a really wide time period. As you know, China's history goes back thousands of years, and it's our challenge to try to condense that all into a meaningful presentation. And so we will look back all the way to the Han Dynasty, which was, of course, a couple thousand years ago. And your listeners may know of our fairly spectacular Han horse, a terracotta horse that we've had in a variety of different places throughout the museum over the years. And so we do have a number of objects from the Han Dynasty. And so we want to make sure that we can trace kind of the evolution of Chinese art and how it's changed over time, the technologies that were used. And that's something that's actually already on view, even as the Chinese gallery is closed, in our Snookel Family Ceramic Study Gallery, which is right across from our interactive Silk Road Gallery. And we actually just reopened the Snookel Study Gallery as well, where we reorganized and reinstalled a number of the ceramics in that gallery so that they're not only more stable and protected from potential earthquakes, but also that they tell a more comprehensive story now. We really do go from left to right and look at the evolution of ceramics over time and how they've changed in China. There are also a number of really great examples from Korea, Japan, and Southeast Asia, but the main focus in that room is China.
Chelsea and Kabir, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.